So it's always good when you get to church. Leon preaches the first half of your message and then Stan finishes it and you're like, so have a great week, guys, and we'll catch you next week. But no, seriously, I've titled this sermon, A Living Faith, which was just amazing when the first words that, pretty much the first words Leon speaks this morning is A Living Faith. And it just makes it easier, I guess, in some ways that people that aren't connected are looking at the same thing and thinking of the same thing. So, you know, I think over the last few years and that, we've really covered that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And I do harp onto it, but it's because I find it amazing. I really do. You know, the creator of the universe has done that for us. And yeah, like we can read about it in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's not a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amazing, isn't it? You know, and there's nothing we can do to improve that situation, our situation, or change, you know. So, yeah. Today I'm going to read from James 2, starting at 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of them says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that the faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers, sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the soul is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. You know, to read that, it could seem contradictory to what we believe. You see, Paul often speaks of faith, grace and faith alone, and then James would seem to say that faith and works saves. Like up there in, I haven't got the scripture, but what good is it, my brothers, if somebody says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? And in verse 24 you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And I guess to read it in isolation or to read it in a context, if you wanted to make it sound like that, you could. But if you read it in the context that it's been spoken, like if you read that scripture out of Ephesians in the context where Paul is speaking to, you know, he's dealing with non-Christians or newly converted pagans. So they'd come out of the pagan religions and they were all terrified. They're asking, am I going to hell? You know, what do I have to do? How much money do I need to give? Do I need to reincarnate? Do I need to slaughter a bull? Do I need to do this or that or something else? And Paul's like, no, Jesus has done everything. And they're like, are you sure? And Paul's reassuring them that no, what Christ has done is enough. The works that he speaks of are competing works, and they're works that compete with what Christ's done. Whereas James is speaking to the established Christian. He's speaking to, if not established Christians, speaking to religious people that have come out of the Jewish faith into Christianity. So they're very established in their faith, and they've experienced the glory of salvation by faith. They knew the excitement of being freed from that works-based righteousness, but they'd then taken it to the other extreme where they're thinking, well, we're saved by grace, that's it. They'd become apathetic in their Christian walk. They'd become blasé. Works didn't matter at all. This is the heart of the book of James. Doesn't imagine that works are at odds with faith. He means that any faith that doesn't lead to works, it's useless. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. He isn't commanding us Christians to work for the benefit of others in need instead of placing faith in Christ, or even in addition to placing faith in Christ. James is expecting that Christians will work for the benefit of others in need because of placing faith in Christ. If a brother or sister is naked and is in need of food, and we fail in this simplest good work, what profit does it? What good is it? To say, be warmed and filled, means we know the person's in need, but often nothing except a few religious words, just a few empty words. Now, I'll say this and then I'll put a disclaimer in, but sometimes we should pray less and do more to help the person in need. Now, don't get me wrong, praying's awesome, praying's powerful. We can pray for people to fill these seats, but sometimes, like Leon said, we just have to ask people. So don't say, like prayer is, you know, it is amazing, it's powerful. But sometimes we can use prayer instead of action. This story is a little bit... Imagine there's a flood and there's a guy stuck up on a roof. He's stuck there and he's like, God, save me. And so a boat drives past and the guy in the boat's like, you're right, mate. And he's like, oh, no, God's saving me. And he's like, all right, no worries. Have a good day. And so he's off. And then a little bit later, he's like, oh, come on, save me. And then so the helicopter flies over. You right, mate? Yeah, she's right. God's going to save me. And so when he gets to heaven, because the flood keeps coming up and he gets washed off the roof, he's like, oh, why didn't you save me? And he's like, oh, what did you want from me? You know, I've given you a boat and a helicopter. And so it's, you know, a living faith is simply a real faith. If we believe something and we follow through and act upon it, if we really put our trust and faith in Jesus, we will care for the naked and the destitute as he has told us to. I find it interesting. James uses two examples of living faith in that scripture before. First, Abraham, you know, he's the father of the Jews. But then he also uses Rahab, just a Gentile. Says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Abraham was justified by faith long before he offered Isaac. His obedience in offering Isaac demonstrated that he really did trust God. And by his works, his faith was made perfect. Faith and works cooperated perfectly together in Abraham. If he hadn't believed in God, so he believed that God had promised him this son. Had he not believed that God was in that situation, imagine that. You know, you've got this son that was a promise of God, and then God asks you to sacrifice that son. It was the fruit of his belief that he was able to take that step. And then Rahab, she was willing to endanger herself to help God's people escape. She didn't say, oh, I trust the Lord, good luck getting out of town, I'll be praying for you. She actively worked to do God's work. Like she was put in a position where God had asked her to do something, whether she knew it or not. I guess that's what she did. The lesson from Abraham is clear. If we believe in God and we do what he tells us to, we will do what he tells us to. And in Rahab, it's also clear. If we believe God, we will help his people, even at our own expense. We're saved by grace through faith to do good works. we're not justified by a bare, empty knowledge of God. And it says there, like, you believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, we can see through the New Testament where Jesus will cast out a demon and they pinpoint him and they say, you're the Son of God. You are. And they'll say, go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. They know that Jesus is real. They know who he is. You know, and I think the mistake of faith without works is demonstrated by the demons. You know, there's a dead belief in God. The demons believe in the sense they acknowledge God exists, but it doesn't do them any good. You know, they'll be cast into hell, even though they know God's. We can't see someone's faith, but we can see their works. I can't see faith without works. I guess people won't judge us by only what we say we believe. If you join what we say we believe and our fruits, that's when, you know, one way or the other, people will see our hearts. And the other thing, God doesn't need us to get his work done, but he's like a father. As a dad, I love doing stuff with my kids. I love doing things I enjoy with my kids so that one day they'll enjoy or potentially enjoy doing the same sort of things. And sometimes it's hard. You know, you go fishing, which you're like, yeah, okay, let's go fishing. But then you don't fish. You just spend time. You got to do that now so that in 5 years' time when they can fish, they want to fish with you. God loves working with us so that we can learn about him. We get to see what he likes. We get to see what he's doing, what he's working on, what he's building. He doesn't make us work, but he invites us to walk alongside him, work alongside him, because he loves us. He wants us to love what he loves, see who he is, and do what he does. I'm going to wind it up there, but in finishing, I know this church is an amazing church. I know, you know, we're a generous, loving, caring church. But I'd encourage every one of us to take every opportunity to demonstrate a living faith in loving action. You know, we come across people every day. If they come up to us and we say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you, they probably walk away. So we do come across people, and it might not be in the church, it might be walking down the street, you know, in your circles of friends. This is why we do it. Ultimately, we do it to bring glory to our God.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate what you had to say. That was very good. It's one of the things I'm talking about this week, actually. There you go. That's good. And just how, you know, Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you sort of look at the context of the scripture, the hope that they're talking about is not just the things that we hope to see happen, but Paul is sort of taken before the Sanhedrin, and he says, I'm here before you today because of my hope in the resurrection. So the resurrection is our hope. So faith is the substance of the resurrection. That's that we've been changed, that we've been made new, that we're new creations. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It says in the scriptures that God made the world out of things that are not visible. And later on in Hebrews it says that we're being saved into a kingdom that cannot perish or spoil or fade because it's based on God's invisible qualities. But in reflection of who God is, as he changes us, the stuff that's invisible in the Christian faith, which is the things we believe, if we're to be in the character of God, it has to be made visible, because that's God's character. That's what he did when he created the heavens and the earth, that out of who he is, he put material on it so that we could see who he is and understand who he is. And so our call as Christians then is to take the invisible stuff, the stuff we believe, and actually make it visible, put material on it. And yeah, so thanks for that, Matt. I got some good stuff out of that for this week. It's going to be good.